So this is an opportunity to inquire into your experience. I'm looking right at the back there and thinking the two brothers are sitting right at the back. So I notice, yeah, that's so interesting, isn't it, that you both looked away. I'm talking to the two of you who both looked away. Do either of you want to share something that happened in your experience? Was it invitation? Sure. Yeah, I'm talking to the two of you.
I've kind of been looking for a longer practice in developing like a better sit, and this was the first time when I kind of had a more reconciliatory experience with myself. I feel like I have multiple selves, like my younger self, my older self, my more mature self, my more immature self, and to be able to sit with all of those selves and to recognize that we are all valid, that we are all trying to be the best version of myself. And there are parts of myself that I like to push away, parts of myself that I like to, I guess, promote in the real world, but to see that there are benefits to all of these different selves, that all of these different selves are really bringing me to wholeness. And the parts of myself that I don't like are really protecting some of the parts of me that have been injured. And so learning to be with all of those selves and to celebrate all of them, was a really good sit.
Well done. Well done. That was very lovely to hear, and what you remind me, if we did the traditional practice of the five stages, that each of those, the fifth stage I didn't mention, is when we have the four of us, and then we take it out into the whole world to all sentient beings, that all those stages, the friend, the neutral, the enemy of the mind, and even out to the world, are aspects of ourselves. They're doorways into ourselves. We're really on a particular level working on ourselves at the same time as working with the rest of humanity. So just as you just say, that all these different selves that you have. So it's very lovely to hear. Thank you. Yeah. Would you like to share? Be sitting beside? That's okay. Just an invitation. Always people who sit at the back, I'm a bit like, oh, are they trying to hide from me?
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, there are parts of me that I ascribe so much heaviness to. And toward the end, I had a really interesting visual of the relief you experience if you've ever been in a car with a lot of balloons.
A lot of.
Balloons, you know, and I kind of started to see these heavier parts of myself as balloons and just sort of floating up and away. And you know, that letting go, it was a pretty powerful experience.
It sounds strong, and what comes to mind is Thich Nhat Hanh describes a emptiness like a balloon, that you know, a balloon is empty, and that's the emptiness. You have this balloon, but it's the emptiness, and it's like this, all these balloons being released of just the emptiness of your stories. Yeah. Thank you. Shokan, and then over there.
I just wanted to say that I guess I had done this practice with you a few years ago in Vancouver, and when we got to the acceptance part of seeing myself as a baby or an infant, I couldn't see myself, and today I could, and it was really, really special. But it always kind of upset me that I couldn't. So
Great.
thank you.
Well done. Practice. Thank God for meditation.
I had a hard time. I think I had a harder time than I expected, and when we were holding our younger selves, I like started tearing up. I just like felt really sorry for like my baby version of me. I was like, I'm sorry. I think I'm like, I'm sorry for like the life you're about to have or something. And then we had, and then I like felt when we were like putting that inside of ourselves, I saw myself like lowering my baby self in back in, and I don't know. I don't really know what's happening, but maybe I feel like maybe I like did something to that baby over the last year or two where I don't, and like this was an opportunity to like put that baby back in or something. Yeah.
Is it okay if I asked you a question?
Sure.
Yeah. Who held you as a baby?
Right. I mean, my mom, maybe. My aunt told me once that my mom would, like, discipline me and my sister when we were, like, in our formative baby years by, like, leaving us in our beds crying, like, in order to get us to, like, I don't know, deal with our despair or something.
So this is what you were touching into when you holding this baby, the sadness, touching into that sadness.
I think so. And yeah, just seeing it come up in my life lately is hard.
How does it show up in your life?
I have a hard time just receiving love from other people. So like when we're practicing doing it for ourselves, it like, I don't think I have, like that's not part of like how I move through the world. It's just not, like I don't comprehend it or something.
It's not how you move through the world, so that's a story.
Or like, I don't think I have the tools or something to receive it as I move through the world.
And yet, you sat and did this practice, you didn't leave, and you actually spoke about actually putting that baby back inside yourself, so somewhere you do have the tools to do it because you said in your own words. Yeah. Can you accept that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there is also that part of you who doesn't think you have the tools and is unable to do it. So I want to hold that as well, that there are these two parts of you, but not just one. Yeah. Right. Because if you just identify with the part of yourself that can't do that, you won't see this other part that needs to come through the mud, the lotus that needs to come through the mud. Yeah. Okay.
That's the work.
Yeah.
Can I ask a classroom question? Could you repeat those A's for me?
Attention. Attention. Mm-hmm. Affection. Appreciation. Acceptance. And allowing. And if you're familiar with the app Insight Timer, which is free, the meditations are free on there, you could find had the meditation. I've just done a new recording of it on Insight Timer.
Thank you.
Okay. And I think I actually speak about it. I just did for Black Wisdom while we were there on the Black Wisdom teachings, which are open to anybody. But I think that costs the Black Wisdom teachings. There is, I'm talking about them there too.
You're on Insight?
Yeah, I'm on Insight Timer. Yeah. There was somebody in the... Oh, go on. And then someone in the front here had their hand up.
I have a hard time with focusing on body sensation because then I'm overwhelmed by painful flashbacks. And the most efficient I have found against painful flashback is to hold my inner baby. But because anything else, like trying to be aware of the surroundings, I get overwhelmed by the flashbacks.
So is there a question in that, or?
Is it okay to just hold the inner baby and not to do the awareness of sensation?
Oh,
or,
Of course, it's. I am a mindfulness teacher, and one of the seminal teachings is this body scan, and just knowing that the body scan can just be the most activating and the most traumatic for some people.
I've done this. I've done Goenka 10-day retreats.
Yeah.
But I go into flashback mode.
Yeah. So what I'm saying, and that's what I'm saying, is that for some people, doing that body scan, I mean, it's an insight. I mean, it's actually quite surprising that it's such a seminal practice, because the body scan is an insight practice, and for some people, it can activate flashbacks. But the beautiful thing is that you are able to hold that inner child. And there's one thing that you could, if you were able to sit and practice, and I do this myself as well. This comes from Peter Levine with trauma. I one of the things I do, I'm a compassionate inquiry practitioner specializing in trauma. One of the things is to have your hand, it's important to have your hand under one armpit and your arm over the other. And just try it. All of us just try it and just see what it feels like for you, or try the other way around. And also notice. I'm giving you this offer to try it, but notice if you're not trying it, and notice just what's going on for you right now. Okay, but this is something which one side can be more comfortable than the other, and it's a very soothing. And be very soothing, so I'd also give that to you for a practice. But yeah, at some point you will be, if you keep on practicing, at some point you will be able to connect to the body, but right now that's not the place you begin at. We meet you where you're at. So you know, when I'm teaching a meditation for people with addictions, I don't do long meditations for, you know, people with addictions. To be able to sit still for 1 minute is a lifetime. So, you know, it's to begin where you're at. So what you're doing is perfectly fine. Yeah. Okay. Was it you? So one of you had your hands up. No. You, yeah.
Oh, no. I just wanted to share the experience when I was holding the infant, that the infant I was holding was my daughter. Mm. And there was just nothing but unconditional love and joy. And then when I heard you say, or I think I heard you say, switch it to ourselves, and then there was like less unconditional love. But I have done a lot of work on that, so I was surprised at how quickly I could move towards more unconditional love, but it was just such a sense of that fullness of love that I could feel for her, and that it was harder to feel it for my little infant self.
And I notice it's like this opening of the hand when you were talking about your daughter, and then the pushing away of your hand as you was talking about yourself. So this is what I was talking about, the place of being able to give it to yourself, and it's wonderful you can give it to your daughter, but actually seeing that there's still this open-handedness for yourself, and which is why I introduce it that way, of just a newborn, so that some people have a pet, tiny kitten, but then it, you know, because if I kind of just said yourself, then you know, but yeah, so that's just, again, it's when we're activated, it's just telling us that there's more work for us to do. You know, whenever I got completely activated at the airport coming in, it was very distressing. I you know, it was really, I got put in the back room, blah, blah, blah. But actually, you know, when I touched into it, I had a reaction. There was one point I just said, because it was a woman who looked Indian. I don't know, she could have been Sri Lankan, whatever, but it was like all these questions, and it was like, I expect a white person to be asking me those questions. So I was in reaction. And, you know, after I left and that distress, for me, just seeing this was all about being rejected, not being allowed in, not being, you know, and so it's just telling me that there's more work for me to do, which is fine. It's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So well done for noticing.
Oh, and thank you.
Thank you.
Actually, just what you showed us to do in like holding ourselves, I struggled with the affection. And it's interesting because this week alone, I actually had a conversation with my partner about affection and the way I show up for people. And, you know, I've always just been taught you show up by being there, but like actual physical touch and holding somebody. Like, I love hugs, but I don't like touch. It's uncomfortable for me. So when we got to the affection, I like kind of held myself and I was like, oh, okay. Cause I couldn't imagine it. And then when you just showed us that, I thought that that would make me feel comforted, but it made me feel uncomfortable. Mm. And, you know, it wasn't hard for me to see myself as a baby and hold myself because I've been wanting to do that. Mm. But I don't like to physically touch my own self.
Is it okay to ask you a question?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who touched you inappropriately as a young person?
Unfortunately, it's happened multiple times.
Yeah.
I'm still in somewhat dealings with one of the people because it's very close to the family.
Mm.
And I'd like to think that I've reconciled it, but I've never had even the conversation. Even though I've forgiven this person, I've honestly, in my heart, the person that I'm still in dealings with, I've forgiven them. I hold no ill will. But that's happened multiple times by multiple people.
Yeah. And I'm really sorry to hear that, and yeah. And I want to just honor that the part of you has reconciled it because you're in a relationship. You've allowed yourself to be in a relationship. But yeah, this, And it's hard because you grew up in a family where smile. Yeah, so you said smile. It's all okay, smile. Yeah. And I really hear that you've forgiven people, but there's a part where one has to really touch into that sadness and pain and let it go. Yeah, and that's scary. And that is, I mean, what I would say is to work with that is to work with a really good therapist, and if you've worked with one and it, you might say it hasn't worked, I would suggest doing EDMR if you have the money, which is this eye rapid movement, which kind of locates to particular experiences. And I say that I'm somebody who had a lot of abuse in my childhood, and this kind of therapy was very powerful, okay, because you cone down to isolated experiences to begin to release the story. Because the one of the things around abuse and all of us could have experienced abuse is that it can take away our birthright to really feel, okay? And that actually, one of the things, it can really take away the birthright to feel pleasure. Because we know that when the body is touched in a particular way, it will respond. It will respond. There will be pleasure that arises. And so, of course, that's the first arrow. And the second arrow is that we give ourselves so much. We blame ourselves so much for feeling that actually whenever pleasure arises, we don't want to feel it because it's associated with dirty, with disgust, how could I? And it takes away our right to really be able to experience that whole spectrum of feeling, okay? Which then turns into this toxic emotions. And in a way, how do we, we're still protecting ourselves. And in a way, what I want to say to you, speaking directly to you now, is that you have a great gift of knowing when people are touching you inappropriately or appropriately. And that is a gift. But allow yourself the gift to be able to be touched and held. And you can always say no. And even when you've said yes, you can still say no. Okay. And just allow yourself to be touched and held. Yeah. And perhaps allow with your partner to explore that, not in words, but to really explore that, and for that partner to know that you may say yes, but there's also 10 minutes later I may say no, and to really begin to honor the gut, honor what's arising for you right now. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So let's end with the Indie Ari track.
divinity defined. I am the God on the inside. I am a star, a piece of it all. I am light.
Thank you. So enjoy your lunch, take care of yourself, extend those walls of the lotus petals of purity, the Vajra wall of determination, and the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana, out into the world so that you're held. Just know that you are slightly sensitive. And perhaps, you know, if you go to lunch with others, that question I asked you to reflect on, who remembers what the question was that I asked you to reflect on at the very beginning? Who remembers? Exactly, thank you. Who is the builder of your house? And we'll come back and hear about that. Okay.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.